This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. When you think of silent films of the 1920s, it's easy to think of the caricatures. The piano music, the villain with the handlebar mustache, the damsel in distress tied down on the train tracks.
The caricatures of African Americans were often much worse than that. Demeaning, vulgar stereotypes were a mainstay of early 20th century silent films. But there were powerful, if little known, exceptions.
African American directors were also making movies that spoke not to the stereotypes, but to the realities of African American life in the 1920s. Their body of work will be celebrated this weekend in Brockton in a special lecture at the 14th Annual African Festival and Marketplace. Joining us now is the man who will be leading that celebration. His name is Rob Merman. Welcome to Radio Boston, Rob.
Thanks very much.
So we were talking about those stereotypes of African Americans in the 19-teens and 20s. What were they that dominated the silver screen, the negative stereotypes?
Well, a lot of the negative stereotypes in the early films came from white actors in blackface, imitating a false black culture. And of course, this came from the 1890s vaudeville, where, again, white actors were putting on blackface rather than watching black actors, portray their own culture.
Mm. And when black actors were in these films, what roles were they allowed or forced to play?
Well, they were playing butlers, slaves, of course. And any role that went to a black performer was actually played by a white actor in blackface again.
Hmm. Well, the best example that maybe most people know of the really damaging portrayal of African Americans has to be D.W. Griffith's 1915 Birth of a Nation. How were African Americans treated in that movie?
Well, these days, Birth of a Nation is still considered something of a masterpiece, and it was a masterpiece in terms of technical filmmaking. But the whole second half of the film had to do with extolling the virtues of the Ku Klux Klan and how it saved the white race from black uprising. And it's just incredibly hard to watch that film these days.
Hmm.
And I'll be showing some clips from that film.
Well, what in specific in the portrayal of the Klan and of African Americans makes it so hard to watch?
Well, first of all, a lot of the film took place after the Reconstruction, after the Civil War, and it showed a version of what would happen if blacks took over America, if they ran Congress, if they passed laws which allowed for interracial marriage, for example. And before these scenes in the film, it depicted blacks as black children as Pickaninny children and eating watermelon and chicken, and that's all that we know of them. And the blacks were either very ingratiating to the whites, depicted in the film, or they were just portrayed as funny, silly, uneducated, inferior men.
Hmm. Well, we can only imagine how audiences, both black and white, responded to the movie in its time. But I find it remarkable, and this is one of the things you're going to talk about in Brockton, that Birth of a Nation actually prompted a response, a film response, from one of the best black directors of the era, Oscar Michaud. Tell us a little bit about him.
Oscar Michaud was really a prolific African-American filmmaker, and he really stirred controversy in his time because he confronted issues of lynching and white supremacy and passing and corruption among black clergy. And these kinds of issues were never shown in Hollywood films in the early 20th century. So he really emphasized education for black women, and his intent was to show racial uplift by showing what was really going on in black life of the day.
Well, I love the fact that Oscar Michaud began his artistic career as a novelist but then moved to film when no one would actually make a movie of his novel, so he did it himself. The response film, essentially, that he created after Birth of a Nation came out is called Within Our Gates. He made it in 1925. And briefly, what story does he tell in that film?
Within Our Gates, it does tell the story about an educated black woman school teacher who tries to help a school for Negroes of the day by getting financial help. But it depicts a lot of stereotypes of a Negro black preacher who does ingratiate himself with some condescending whites but then privately condemns himself for doing so. And I'll be showing a scene from that movie too on Saturday.
Well, that and that Negro black preacher. His name in the film, I believe, is Ned. And you know, since these are silent films, we don't have any dialogue from the actual movie that we can play. But I really would like to give listeners a sense of the sort of frank and fearless nature of the movie. So, Rob, if you'd be willing, maybe we can read a little bit of the dialogue that appears on the screen in those black and white interstitial frames. Would you be up for that?
Oh, sure, we could do that.
Okay, so here we have some music from a particular scene in Within Our Gates, again, directed by Oscar Michaud. And this is where the character Old Ned visits two white men who are supposedly his friends. And one of the white men says, on the screen you can see in that little black and white frame, "Listen here, Uncle Ned, you're a good old colored man. What do you make of this?" And he hands Ned a newspaper and then says, "It's about the Negroes' right to vote. We're all in favor of your people, but we can't be having Negroes voting."
And then Ned looks at the paper and replies, "Y'all knows what I always preach. This is a land for the white man, and black folk got to know their place. Let the white man go to hell with his politics, wealth, and sins. Give me Jesus. I always preach that the vices and sins of the white folk will end them up in hell. When the judgment day comes, more Negroes than whites will rise up to heaven."
And then one of the white men gets up out of his chair, laughing and slapping his knees, and he suddenly turns around and viciously kicks Ned.
And then Ned leaves the room, and his expression changes. Suddenly he looks angry, and he sighs and says to himself, "Again, I've sold my birthright, all for a miserable mess of potage. Negroes and whites, all are equal. As for me, miserable sinner, hell is my destiny."
So that is a scene from the 1925 film Within Our Gates, made by Oscar Michaud. What were the responses, do we know, of audiences who saw the film at the time?
Well, most of these race films, as they were called, because they were made by black producers and black directors for black audiences to be seen in black movie theaters, it got amazing responses from what I've read, because they had never seen real black life being depicted on the screen before. And it did create some controversy, even with black critics. Oscar Michaud was criticized heavily because some of the black audiences disagreed with the fact that he was showing not only the light but the dark side of black character and black life.
Huh. And that's fascinating that he was even controversial at that time amongst black audiences. And another one of Michaud's very famous films also sort of gets at that controversy. And I believe that's called Body and Soul. And in fact, that stars the film debut or maybe the only film appearance of Paul Robeson, does it not?
Yes, it's his first film appearance. And he plays an escaped convict posing as a preacher, another man of God. And it's very, very powerful because it shows a lynching scene. It shows attempted rape. It shows the preacher drinking and swearing and cussing. And these are things, these are black people that have never been depicted in films like that, in Hollywood films of the day.
Hmm.
And it was astonishing for black audiences to see their real life being depicted. And Oscar Michaud used to say, when he was condemned for showing this kind of negative black behavior, he was saying, in order for racial uplift and to advance race progress and to basically awaken black consciousness, he needed to correct this negative behavior by showing what it is.
Huh. And it's fascinating because Paul Robeson, most people probably know him for his voice. And of course, this was a silent film and he was a young man at the time, but still a very impressive presence on screen.
Yeah, as soon as he walks on screen, standing there as Paul Robeson, we're so familiar with his voice, but even without his voice, he is an astounding presence on film.
Mm. Now, Rob, I have to ask you, when people first heard me introduce you, I bet there were some folks out there who probably recognized your name, Rob Merman. First and foremost known as a director, actor, clown, and magician, and founder of the award-winning Circus Smirkus. So how did the former dean of the Ringling Brothers Clown College get interested in African-American silent film?
This is very recent. My first love before I went off to join the circus, my first love was pantomime. And I studied with the French mime Marcel Marceau, and He and I often discussed silent films, and at that point, all I knew were the comedies, Charlie Chaplin, Buster Keaton. But recently, in the past 12 years, more silent films have been discovered, transferred to DVD, and you could watch amazing dramas and adventure films. And when I was asked by Donna from the African Marketplace about whether there are any black silent film people in the 20s, I did my research and I came up with this program I'll do on Saturday, and it just opened my eyes.
Huh, well, we hope to open others' eyes when they come to your lecture. We're going to go out on some newly composed music that's in honor of Walter Michaud's classic, Body and Soul. Rob Merman is the founder of Circus Smircus, and he'll be giving that special lecture called Black Cinema in the Silent Era, a Celebration of Silent Cinema at the Brockton African Festival and Marketplace this weekend. There's more information at radioboston.org. Rob Merman, thank you so much for your time today.
You're very welcome.
And before we go today, we started the hour talking about sleep, and we weren't able to get all of your questions, but our guest, Dr. Sandra Horowitz of the Harvard Medical School, is willing to answer more of your questions online.
So post your questions about sleep at radioboston.org, and we'll pass them on to the doctor, and we'll put her answers online.
Radio Boston is a production of WBUR with regular contributions from The Angle at boston.com.
Our show is produced by Adam Ragusea, Jessica Alpert, Dan Mazzi, and Jason Breslow. Our interns are Annie Ropeek and Mira Sharma.
Tim Skog is our technical director.
The executive producer of Radio Boston is Mark Navin. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty.
And I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again tomorrow for more Radio Boston.